Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 11th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this new day, that we can continue our study of your word and see clearly the things that you have for us to understand. We pray that you would fill us with understanding so that we might go forward and follow you closely in every detail, that our lives might reflect you in preparedness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I came across an article in the National Catholic Reporter, published on May the 6th, 2020. The writer of the article is Heidi Sumpf. Let me spell that last name for you. It's S-C-H-L-U-M-P-F. Let me spell it again. S-C-H-L-U-M-P-F. The date of the article is May the 6th, 2020, and the title of the article is When Church Leaders Sound Like Presidential Apologists. The title again, When Church Leaders Sound Like Presidential Apologists. Now I want you to note that the article was published in the National Catholic Reporter, which is an independent news source belonging to the Catholic Church. On May the 6th, 2020, the title again, When Church Leaders Sound Like Presidential Apologists. Here's the article. Mick Mulvaney, former Trump White House Chief of Staff, spoke April the 23rd, 2019, during the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast in Washington. Last week, Mulvaney did a virtual town hall with supporters of the CatholicVote.org. And then the article writer says this, let's play a game. Let's play the game of who said it. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan or Mick Mulvaney, President Donald Trump's former chief of staff. And this is a statement. Trump is fascinated by people of faith and very interested in the Catholic faith and has surrounded himself with Catholics at every level. That's Mulvaney trying to convince Catholic voters on a recent campaign call that the president himself, not a regular churchgoer, is a deeply religious man. Another statement. Trump seems particularly sensitive to the, what shall I say, to the feelings of the religious community. Similar sentiment, but this time it's not Mulvaney, but New York Cardinal Dolan on Fox News. Fox and Friends show. Now remember what the title of the article is, When Church Leaders Sound Like Presidential Apologists. Similar sentiment, it says, but this time it's not Mulvaney, but New York Cardinal Dolan on Fox News, Fox and Friends. Another statement. Trump is working so hard to see that we can safely return to church as safely as possible. Mulvaney? No. Trump is a great gentleman whom Catholics need more than ever. Again, this is the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Dolan, not someone paid to promote the president during his re-election campaign. We get it. The Catholic vote, historically important in presidential races, is crucial in 2020. In 2016, Catholics were evenly split. While white Catholics going for Trump, while Latino Catholics favored Hillary Clinton, Trump's presumptive opponent this time is a Catholic, former Vice President Joe Biden. In the wake of his bungling of the coronavirus pandemic, Trump's poll numbers have plummeted, even among people of faith, according to a poll. And campaigning in time of coronavirus further complicates things, which explains why we're seeing a rash of virtual events aimed at voters of faith, especially at Catholics. The call with Mulvaney, a Catholic who served on Trump's cabinet as director of the Office of Management and Budget and currently is a special envoy to Northern Ireland, was hosted by CatholicVote.org. A digital town hall, it was billed as an inside look from a trusted insider about what it's like to be a Catholic working in the White House on the issues we care about, according to a blog post by CatholicVote.org President Brian Birch. In it, Mulvaney described a man virtually unrecognizable from Trump's public persona these past 3.5 years, a problem Mulvaney blames on a biased press that pushes an inaccurate narrative. In other words, Mulvaney is saying Trump is a lot nicer person than you see on television. That's not his fault. That's not the one that you see on television. That's the press's fault. Continuing. He says, Mulvaney says, the media wants you to believe that the president hates immigrants, that he is a xenophobic monster in the White House, Mulvaney said, repeating the administration's drumbeat of attacks on the press. Nothing could be further from the truth, he said. Instead, Trump is a man of fortitude and strength who will defend what he believes, Mulvaney said. Although Trump doesn't often talk about his faith publicly, it certainly does carry a certain importance in his heart, Mulvaney told CatholicVote.org. CatholicVote.org NCR readers may recall receiving attention last fall for its controversial use of geofencing, which involves surreptitiously gathering location data from cell phones at Catholic parishes in key battleground states, all in an effort to re-elect Trump. That tactic, however, lost its effectiveness this spring when states issued stay-at-home orders in response to the coronavirus. Gone too are massive campaign rallies, such as the one planned by the group Catholics for Trump in early March in Milwaukee. That event was replaced with an online broadcast in April. Instead, the president himself has reached out to Catholics and other faith leaders on at least 2 group phone calls. The first, on April the 17th, was ostensibly about reopening churches during the COVID-19 pandemic, while the second, on April the 25th, was supposed to be about government funding for Catholic education. Now, I want you to go back and listen to what I said there. Let me read it again. Instead, the president himself has reached out to Catholics and other faith leaders on at least 2 group phone calls. The first, on April the 17th, was ostensibly about reopening churches during the COVID-19 pandemic, while the second, on April the 25th, was supposed to be about government funding for Catholic education. Both turned into mini campaign rallies, with Trump both soliciting support from religious leaders and bragging about his success, even saying he has been the best president in the history of the Catholic Church. And it turned out the bishops were warned that the call might have campaign connections, and as columnist Michael Sean Winters learned. Participating in both calls were Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and New York Cardinal Dolan. Dolan, more than any other church leader, seems hell-bent on delivering the Catholic vote for Trump. He not only kissed up to the president on the 2 calls, but helped him out with more praise during a live stream mass from St. Patrick's Cathedral the next day and on Fox and Friends the day after that. To top off the week, Dolan again defended Trump during a Facebook Live interview with America Magazine editor Jesuit Father Matt Malone on Friday. In response, NCR editorial, National Catholic Reporters editorialized about the danger of church leaders being masterfully manipulated by Trump to bolster his reelection prospects, a position I reiterated to National Public Radio this week. Rather than fawning over a president whose policies and rhetoric are hardly what could be called pro-life with a straight face, the bishops could have stuck with one message from Mulvaney and the virtual town hall host. Timothy Hicklescomb, former congressman from Kansas, now an employee of CatholicVote.org, said that Catholics should get out and do the voting for the president. On the call, Birch Notice, CatholicVote.org, will be spending $10 million to make sure that the 30% of devout Catholics who didn't vote in 2016 get to the polls. So notice, let me pause to say, the Catholic organization is working and spending money to make sure that they go out and vote for Donald Trump. Let me read that sentence again. Birch noted, CatholicVote.org will be spending $10 million to make sure the 30% of devout Catholics who didn't vote in 2016 get to the polls. You put the Democrats in charge, and the values that you carry as a Roman Catholic are going to suffer, Mulvaney said. If you want to see your values reflected in policy, there's really no choice. You have to not only vote for the Republican Party, you have to help them get reelected. Now, this is clear, and you know, it's a really amazing thing. But notice, this particular party right now, the Republican Party, is being pushed by the Catholic Church because apparently, based on everything we're seeing, the agenda that is being embraced by the far-right evangelicals and by virtue of that being embraced by the administration is really a Catholic agenda. Continuing the article, it says, Dolan all but told voters the same thing with his appearances and comments in support of Trump. While religious leaders should, of course, be able to communicate with and try to influence politicians, we should be able to tell them apart. So what is the title of this article I just read for you? It is found in the National Catholic Reporter. This is not the Washington Post. This is not the New York Times. This is the National Catholic Reporter, published on May the 6th, 2020, where it is saying that the church leaders sound like presidential apologists, where the leaders of the church are supporting and supportive of the president's re-election in 2020. Let me say it again. This is not some sort of comment by an outsider. This is an insider publication plainly stating that they support the restoration of the presidency of Donald Trump. Because based on what Mulvaney, who is a Catholic and who is connected to some of those Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus organizations, these men understand that the agenda that they are embracing right now really is a Catholic agenda. But that's not all. There is another list that is found in the Reddit website. That's R-E-D-D-I-T website. And the title of that list in the Reddit website is Trump's Jesuit Catholic Transition Team Responsible for Making Cabinet Appointments and Policy Decisions. Now this would have been back in the time when he was coming into office, 2016, 2017, after he had won the election. And here's the list that is found in Reddit. And the title, if you're looking for it, Trump's Jesuit Catholic Transition Team Responsible for Making Cabinet Appointments and Policy Decisions. Here's the list. Mike Pence, self-described evangelical Catholic. Chris Christie, Roman Catholic. Newt Gingrich, Roman Catholic, Council on Foreign Relations. Mike Flynn, remember Flynn, who has just been released from being charged, and his charge has been completely evacuated. Michael T. Flynn, a Roman Catholic. Rudy Giuliani, Roman Catholic. Jared Kushner, who is a Jew, but he's a fan of the Count of Mount of Christ. Steve Bannon, chief strategist. You know, he used to be in the White House, but he's no longer there. Roman Catholic. Lou Barletta, Roman Catholic. Chris Collins, Roman Catholic. Tom Marino, Roman Catholic. Devin Nunes, Roman Catholic. Anthony Scaramucci, Roman Catholic, Council on Foreign Relations. Eric Trump, Jesuit trained from Georgetown. Ivanka Trump attended Jesuit Georgetown for 2 years. David Malpass, Jesuit trained from Georgetown, Vice President of the Council of National Policy. Keith Kellogg, trained by Jesuits at Santa Clara University. Michael Catazzardo, trained by Jesuits at Fordham University. Andrew Bremberg, graduate of Catholic University of America. James Carafano, Jesuit trained from Georgetown University. Ed Fulner, Roman Catholic former president and founder of Heritage Foundation. Ken Blackwell, Jesuit trained from Xavier University. Boris Exquen, Trump foremost spokesman, Jesuit trained from Georgetown. Now that's the list. Let me say it again. That's the list of his transition team. And remember, of course, at one point, he removed Chris Christie, who was leading, and he put Mike Pence in charge. But they're all Catholics. I cannot imagine that anyone who is looking at what is happening here cannot see the fulfillment of everything that God has warned us concerning. You and I need to understand that what is written in God's word and what has been backed up in the spirit of prophecy is not an overstatement. It is clearly what we're seeing around us. It is clearly the fulfillment of everything that we have been warned concerning. That list that I just read for you, that's the list of the transition team. And you can find it yourself in the Reddit website, R-E-D-D-I-T website, starting at Mike Pence and going all the way through. The article that I read before is not some sort of secular organizational website. It is the National Catholic Reporter website, published May the 6th, 2020, and it describes the moves of the church leaders of the Catholic Church who are moving to make sure that this president is re-elected. Now, not only is this a fulfillment of God's word and the spirit of prophecy, but if you wouldn't mind me taking you to 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chiniquy again. And I'm sure that you knew I was going to go there. Charles Chiniquy's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, says this. Page 347. Well, it depends on the publication that you have, because sometimes the books are a little bigger. But if you do a search, you will find it. Listen to what it says in that book regarding a meeting that was held in Buffalo in the year 1852, where the Jesuits and the priests came together. Here's what was decided. We are determined, like you, to take possession of the United States and rule them. But we cannot do that without acting secretly and with the utmost wisdom. If our plans are known, they will surely be defeated. What does a skillful general do when he wants to conquer a country? Does he scatter his soldiers over the farmlands and spend their energy and power in plowing the fields and sowing grain? No! He keeps them well united around his banners and marches at their head to the conquest of the strongholds, the rich and powerful cities. Silently and patiently, we must mass our Roman Catholics in the great cities of the United States, remembering that the vote of a poor journeyman, though he be covered with rags, has as much weight in the scale of power as the millionaire Astor, and that if we have two votes against his one, he will become a powerless as an oyster. Let us then multiply our votes. Let us call our poor but faithful Irish Catholics from every corner of the world and gather them into the very hearts of these proud citizens, which the Yankees are so rapidly building under the names of Washington, New York, Boston, Chicago, Buffalo, Albany, Troy, Cincinnati, etc. Under the shadows of those great cities, the Americans consider themselves a giant, unconquerable race. They look upon the poor Irish Catholic people with supreme contempt, as only fit to dig their canals, sweep their streets, and work in their kitchens. Then let no one awake these sleeping giants today. Let us pray God that they may sleep and dream their sweet dreams a few years more. How sad will their awakening be when with our outnumbered votes we shall turn them forever from every position of honor, power, and profit? What will those hypocritical and godless sons and daughters of the fanatical pilgrim's fathers say when not a single judge, not a single teacher, not a single policeman will be elected if he be not a devoted Irish Roman Catholic? What will those so-called giants think of their matchless shrewdness and ability when not a single senator or member of Congress will be chosen if he be not submitted to our Holy Father the Pope? What a sad picture those Protestant Yankees will cut when we will not only elect the president, but fill and command the armies, man the navies, and hold the keys of the public treasury. It will then be time for our faithful Irish people to give up their grog shops in order to become the judges and governors of the land. Then our poor and humble mechanics will leave their damp ditches and muddy streets to rule the cities in all their departments. For the stately mansion of mayor to the more humble, though less noble position of teacher. Then yes, then we shall rule the United States and lay them at the feet of the Vicar of Jesus Christ, that he may put an end to their godless system of education and impious laws of liberty, of conscience, which are an insult to God and man. Well, that meeting was held in 1852. Is recorded in 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Tinoquy, who was a Catholic priest. That list that I gave you is recorded in Reddit website. And the article confirming the fact that these Catholics are planning to re-elect this president is found in the National Catholic Recorder, published May the 6th, 2020. What more need I say? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have warned us in advance of all that is coming to pass. We thank you in advance for the warning, but we ask that you would give us the strength to withstand the trouble to come. We thank you in advance for all that you will do for us, and we ask that you would give us the strength, the faith, and the endurance that is necessary. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 11th, 2020.